of Scripture in Timothy where Paul told Timothy to stir himself up? To stir himself up? It's on, Jan. Yeah, no, I won't tease you. Turn up them bell tones, Jan. No, I'm kidding. How many of you remember that verse of Scripture? It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Paul is telling Timothy to stir up. Verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. Wonder why Paul had to remind Timothy to stir up the gift that was inside of him. Any question? Anybody wonder that? Why did Paul have to remind Timothy to do that? And the word stir up means to arouse from dormancy. Do you guys think that anything could ever go dormant inside of us? Now here's my question. Who was told to stir up the gift? Timothy was told to stir it up. Now, I'm sure Paul would do what he could do to stir up the gift, but who was given the instruction to stir up the gift that was in him? Timothy was. I wonder if that says anything to us today. Do you think today it is required of us to stir up the gift that's on the inside of us? Amen? Turn and look at somebody and say, it's your job to stir up the gift in you. Amen? Glory to God. Now, do we help each other? Should we help each other with this? Should we encourage each other in this? Yes, but have you ever tried to stir up the gift that was inside somebody and they just wouldn't let you stir it up? I've tried to do that. I've tried to stir up the gift inside of people and they resist every attempt to stir up the gift in them. We play a huge part in stirring up that gift on the inside. And then I was thinking about David in Ziklag this morning as we were worshiping. And David and his men, they're out and about. They're gone. They're out traveling. You know, they're out doing what they're doing. And they come back home and the city of Ziklag has been attacked by the enemy. It has been burned to the ground. And the wives and the children of David's men and himself were all taken captive. And when they see this sight, they all start to mourn and to cry. And they wept till there was no strength in them. They wept till there was no strength in them. And then they all talk of stoning David. They're going to stone David. They're going to kill him. He's the leader. He's the one responsible for this. They're going to stone him. So David goes and gets an ephod, a robe that you would wear. And he goes into the presence of the Lord. And the scripture says he strengthened himself in the Lord. I tell you what, you know, there's times in our life where we need to do that. We need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We need to stir ourselves up. You know, and every once in a while, we got to figure out whether we need stirred up or not. You know, sometimes you think, well, I'm doing okay. I'm hanging out and I'm just doing okay with everybody else. We're just doing okay. And did you know the okay can cool down? Thinking it's just mellow. And then all of a sudden you get around somebody who's stirred up. And you're going, wow, my stirred up and their stirred up is totally different. Amen. So part of the word is for us this morning is stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. How do you do that? How do you do that? It's probably a little bit different for everybody. It's a little unique for each person. But how do we stir ourselves up? I know one of the things I do, I just start remembering what the Lord has done for me. I just start remembering what the Lord has done for me. I think about Diana. I think about my children. I remember back to however many years ago it is now, 34, 35, when he spoke to my heart and said, Joel, you're not really happy. And I quit doing drugs and alcohol like that. I think about stuff like that. Then I find scripture. And I just start quoting scripture. I just start repeating scripture. I just start going over it. I'll find some of my good songs that I like to play. And I'll put them on and I'll crank them up, you know, and just get them going. Amen. Do you like just being, what would you rather be, stirred up or, my other one was stirred up or dead, You know, I'd rather be stirred up. Amen. I'd rather be fired up. I'd rather be passionate after the things of God. I like that a whole lot more. And I'm sure somebody's definition of stirred up is different than another person's. I'm always reminded of this. This excellent running back. He was just a tremendous running back. And it's the football game that's going to decide who goes to the Super Bowl or not. And if I remember right, the Chicago Bears and the New Orleans Saints are playing each other. And this running back, I want to say Reggie Bush, he got a breakaway. He got a breakaway, you know, run, and he's high stepping it. I would do it running, but I actually cannot, you know, running. And he's kind of taunting the defender as he goes into the end zone. And what he ended up doing. Now, how many of you'd think if you're in the middle of a football game that's going to determine you going to the Super Bowl, you're fired up? Amen. But what he ended up doing to the defense and the offense was he ended up ticking them off. And they got stirred up, man, by what he did. And you know what? That was the last touchdown they scored that game. They lost. You know, so what's my point of this? Stay calm and don't tick off the enemy. No, that's not my point. My point is this, no matter how stirred up we think we might be, no matter how passionate we think we might be, we can get more passionate. We can get more stirred up. We can get a little bit more aggressive. You know, we can tear some roofs off. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then this is one of the things. David strengthened himself in the Lord. Could you imagine your town has been burnt to the ground? All the family members are taken captive. And now all your warriors that travel with you want to stone you to death. That's a pretty tough spot, huh? And I love the fact that he goes into the presence of God and he strengthens himself in the Lord and he comes back out and he faces his men. And he says, guys, I went and just talked to God. And he said to pursue, overtake, and recover all. Let's go get them. And guess what? His men take off with him. They went from stoning him to taking off with him. And guess what they did? They pursued, they overtook, and they recovered all. Amen. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I worship you this morning, and I praise you. I give you glory and honor. I thank you. I just thank you, Father, for what you've put in my heart today to share. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps me because I need it desperately. And I thank you for it. I receive. And I thank you that you just pour out and just give to people in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, start with me this morning here. Yeah, because this all that other stuff was just extra. Go with me, if you would, please, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and this morning to get started, I'm going to share some things that are a reminder, that are a repeat that we've heard about a year ago. Calm, build up, and advance. It's been in my heart for about the last month to just repeat this, because about a year or so ago, shared it for an extended period of time. There was over a course of a couple of months that it was came up repeatedly, and God's putting it back in my heart just as a reminder that calm, build up, and then the advance. You know, and in that is the calm, getting in the presence of God, spending time with God, getting in fellowship, getting quiet with God. And you know what, folks? I get pretty real here this morning. There are families I've watched in our church, and they've listened to me for years. And there's been one thing that I know I've been saying for a lot of years, and it comes from Mark chapter 4, the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word. And the word becomes unfruitful. Do you know that I've been sharing that as long as this church has been going? It comes up on a regular basis. How many of you remember me hearing me say that? Amen. It comes up. It's one of those things. It's a word from God, a word from God's word, a word for us that God wants us to get a hold of. And yet I have watched individuals just not take it to heart. And actually what they do is they get busier and busier and busier and busier. Amen. And the calm, the quiet, ain't happening. And guess what starts to happen to folks' lives? Cracks. Problems. Issues. Just start taking place in people's lives. And I can guarantee you one of the reasons is because people aren't taking to heart that word right there. Calm. Calm. Too busy in life. The worries of the world. Well, what falls into that category, the worries of the world? Everything that the world worries about. And a lot of what the world tells you, you should worry about. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word. And one of the sad things is I know people who they don't believe that's happening to them, but it's happening to them, and they're deceived. Bummer. Bummer. I tell you what, man, and you know, one of the worst things about being deceived is a deceived person doesn't know they're deceived. Mm-hmm. And the best form of deception is that which most parallels the truth. Wow. Just calm. So did you get open to the book of Isaiah chapter 40? All right. Verse 29. I love this. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Guys, there's a theme already this morning. There is a theme this morning that the Holy Ghost is involved in. Okay, Timothy, and stir yourself up. David and Ziklag wasn't in my notes, but during worship it came up. Okay, it came up during worship. And now as I listen to this and we start to get in calm, he gives power to the weak. Anybody in here got situations in areas of your life where you feel weak? You feel weak? You feel powerless in that situation? Okay, I got to tell you, God's talking today. God's talking to us today. He is sharing some things with us today. It'd do well for all of us. Sometimes I need a mirror because when I say it'd do well for all of us, I'm looking at it. I am not preaching at you. I'm talking to us. Amen. And I'm purposing to let the Spirit of God talk to us. Amen. And I'm hearing what I'm saying. But look at that. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths will faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But, everybody say but. And I like the contrast in here. Don't you think that the youths, man, they just got energy and they can just keep going and they can keep going. And the young, they can just run and run and run. You know, and then here's this contrast. I'm not as young as I used to be. Amen. Yeah, there's certain aspects of this growing old that I don't like. And I like what Al said, though. Growing old is not a sin, but it sure is inconvenient. Oh, but look at this. So, you know, even the youths are going to faint, and the young men are going to utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. This is a great verse of scripture. It's quoted all the time. It's repeated. This one gets put on plaques. This one gets hung on walls. This one gets put on the daily calendar, you know? But you know what? It's not going to do any good unless it's lived. Unless it's applied. Unless it's acted upon and done in a person's life. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. You know what? That's for you. That's for me. Glory to God. I think about getting older. I'm 58. Well, in 2 years I'll be 60. How's that sound? In my mind, I'm not 40 anymore. Amen. I love what Dorothy says. You know, she was talking to somebody about being a little bit older, and she goes, "Yeah, but I'm still buying green bananas." She's not buying yellow ones yet. You know, but I am. I'm getting older. And here's something I notice. My energy level isn't what it used to be. Anybody else notice that? Amen. Thank you, Ernie. You know, but if I will wait on the Lord, what's He going to do? He's going to renew my strength. Mount up with wings like eagle. You think there's any supernatural help involved in this? And you know what? Here's one of the other things He does for us. How many of you know the more time you spend waiting on the Lord and you hang out with Him, He'll make you smarter? I like this. He'll make you smarter so you don't have to work as hard. I like that old phrase, work smarter, not harder. How many of you know, hanging out with God, He can make you smart. He can make you look good. Amen? Why don't you turn and look at somebody and say, "I can tell you've been hanging out with Him because you're looking awful good." Go ahead. You know, you're just looking good. He's been making you smarter. Hallelujah. Okay, but the calm buildup. You guys, notice this verse of Scripture. When we get quiet, and we wait on the Lord, and we spend time in His presence, and then we hang out with Him, what happens? We get built up. We get strengthened. We get encouraged. And then one of the things I'm looking forward to this, there's going to be an advance. You know, how does this say? What happens here? What happens in this verse? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Well, what do eagles do? They soar. They rise up. They soar. They shall run and not be weary. If somebody's running, are they advancing? They shall walk and not faint. Aren't they moving forward? They're advancing. I tell you what, how many of you want to advance? Then wait. Isn't it crazy? Well, I want to advance. Then wait. Wait on the Lord. Spend time with Him. I don't know why it works this way, but it does work this way. I remember this was even before I saved. You could see this stuff happen. How many in here have ever tried to put a manual transmission in a car and you didn't have a garage and you didn't have the hoist and you didn't have all that stuff, but you're trying to put this manual transmission in a car? Amen? There's some ladies in here going, "No, I never have." Some ladies are raising their hand going, "Yeah, I've done that." But I've done that. I've been doing it, laying on the gravel, putting it in. And you got to get this, the pilot shaft into the clutch and all that stuff and the throwout bearing and all that. And it's all got to be lined up just right. And you're trying to pick up this about 150, 200-pound transmission. And no, I wasn't doing it alone. Had help. And you're working it under the car, and you don't got a lot of room, and you're wiggling, and you're trying to get it to slide in there. And these two little pig ears on the transmission got to cluck to the housing and all that stuff. How many of you are going, "I have no clue what you're talking about, Pastor, but just keep going anyway." So anyway, here you are. And you're under there fighting it more than one time. More than one time. Just not getting anywhere fighting it. Crawl out from under the car, sit, take a break. Usually the break was 7 minutes because that's back when I was smoking cigarettes, and that's how long it would take to smoke a cigarette, about 7 minutes. My brother Cass timed it. Anyway, totally not important, but just so you know. But take that break, crawl back under there, click. Anybody ever had stuff like that happen for you? Boy, you know, sometimes if we just stop fighting it, Just get back and wait on the Lord. He'll give us strength. We'll be able to advance then. And I want to exhort us today to take some time and to wait on the Lord. Head with me to Acts chapter 1. And today, as I keep going with the rest of this, I don't know how far I'm going to get. How many of you are glad you're here? I asked that earlier, but are you still glad you're here? Praise God. Acts chapter 1. If I get as far as I want to, at the end of the service, hopefully this altar will be full of people praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, because we're one of those churches that believes in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not just believe in it, but like to practice it, like to do it, like to just live out what the Word says. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Jesus has been crucified, he's been risen from the dead, and he keeps meeting with his disciples, and he's telling them things after, you know, he's raised from the dead. There's 40 days that he does that. Picking up at verse 2, Acts chapter 1. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments. Everybody say commandments. He had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking to them pertaining to the things of the kingdom of God. Pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which they had heard from him, from Jesus. They had heard about the promise of the Holy Spirit from Jesus. And I think it's interesting. He commanded them, wait. You know, I went to Rhema Bible School for 2 years. And there were a lot of students at Rhema. After 1 year, they were gone. Not in a bad way. They're out there going to spread the gospel. They're going to share. They're going to go tell everybody they can. And I mean, 1 year at Rhema, and they're ready to go. And that's 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. And they're ready to go. And Rhema kept instructing people, wait, stay here a second year, stay here a second year. There's more in the second year, stay here a second year. And then so I stayed a second year and got more, and thank God. You know what? And I'm ready to go. These guys had 3 years with Jesus every day. Hours on day. Hours on end. They heard over and over. I mean, I wonder, do you think they might have felt like, hey, I'm ready? They had even gone out at different times. The 10 went out, and the 70 went out, and 12 went out. They did different things. I meant to say 12 the first time. They went out, and they saw miracles happen. They held this stuff happen. You think they might have felt like they were ready? But what's he do? He commands them to wait for what? The promise of the Father. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, I wrote this in my notes, and I want to say this. You know, some of what I say today is just going to be a reminder to some. I hope it inspires everybody, and then it might be new to a few. But how many of you know sometimes you got to repeat things? You got to just stir things up. Peter talked about bringing people to reminder, bringing them to a remembrance of what he said. There's some things we need to remember, and we need to just take to heart. And like, I'm going after it, man. There's more. I know there's more. I know I need to stir myself up. I know if I will wait on the Father that he's going to strengthen me. He's going to give me stuff I need. Amen? But we all play a part in it. I don't know about you. I don't want to get to heaven and find out that I left a lot of miracles sitting on the shelf. Because you know what? There are a lot of believers that leave a lot of the provision of God sitting on the shelf. They don't fight in and get a hold of it. I don't want to be that. And I know it sometimes I'm guilty of things like that. I know I am. And I don't like it. Amen? Hallelujah. God's got more for you. I don't want to just look at a few things. Back up to John chapter 7. I just want to look at a few things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Because he told them about the Holy Spirit. He said a few things. And I just think it would be good to have just a few reminders. I'm going to try to go quickly with this. I think I can get to where I want to be today. John 7:37. Jesus told him about the Holy Spirit. He told him about the promise of the Father. I just want to look at a few things that he had told them previously that they should be anticipating, they should be expecting, they should be looking forward to when they were to receive the Holy Spirit. And I should have told you to keep a marker in Acts. But here we are, John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Rivers of living water. You know what I love about this? It's so cool. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Guys, this is part of the theme again. It just keeps showing up. Man, turn to look at somebody and say, I'm going to get it. Or say this, I'm getting it. See, this is part of the theme again. Here it is. It's just showing up. I didn't think about all this stuff ahead of time when I prayed and put my notes together. This is just God. If anyone comes to me in thirst, so the individual coming is what? Thirsty. Didn't we read some scriptures, if anybody is weak? Come and wait, and you what? Renew your strength. If any man thirsts, let him come to me. And he's going to do what? He's going to receive. And what's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to that fellow? Out of his belly will flow what? Rivers. We can go from being thirsty to being vessels that carry rivers of living water. How many of you know that's going to benefit other people? Amen. I'm not here just for me. I show up for just for me. I actually show up. I spend most of my time showing up for other folks. Amen. I come thirsty, but then I get to leave with rivers of living water. Amen. How many of you like have rivers of living water flowing out of you for people who are thirsty? Amen. Well, we come to Jesus, and he, we're, you know, thirsty. Got to keep reading. Verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we know what he's talking about. He's talking about them getting filled with the Holy Spirit and rivers of living water flowing out of them. Rivers of living water flowing out of them. I think Peter's a classic example. You know, one day he's standing there denying Jesus to a servant girl and again to a servant girl and then to another fellow. He's denying that he even knows Jesus, and he starts cussing and swearing to demonstrate he doesn't know this man. Denies him. And then we're not 40-some days later. Peter's standing up after he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's preaching under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And how many got saved that first time? It was either 4,000 or 5,000. I don't remember right now. How many of you know he had rivers of living water flowing out of him? And not many days prior, he was a vessel of denial. He was an individual denying that he even knew Jesus. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit will make a difference in us. To wait and hang out and to spend time with the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, John 14. John 14. You guys doing okay? We doing all right? I can keep going? Well, I'm gonna. Yeah. Okay, he's battling cancer. Yeah, we got a number of people. See, here, can I share something with you? You know, Marinka's hurting. Steve, she's known Steve for years. Battling cancer. Willis Dunning just went through surgery down in Tulsa. One of his lungs was half filled up with liquid. And they took out a biopsy, and they're going to see what they can find. Okay. Mike and Aaron aren't here, but Aaron's dad, Rick, who just got born again a couple of months ago, had a motorcycle accident on Thursday. And passenger on, and they're both in the hospital in pretty bad shape. The good thing about it is all their injuries were from the neck down, and they got broken bones and all that stuff and everything. They're hurting. Janine, she's dealing with something. Folks, you know, I'm up here talking. I am not just talking for my health. Actually, I'm talking for the health of people. Amen. But people are hurting. And you know what? God's got the answers. He's got the answers. He's got the ability. Amen. We need to go for it. Turn and look at somebody and say, I need to go for it. I need to go for it more. I need to go for it more. I need to stir myself up. I need to go for it. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, and then this. Teresa and Susie. Terry and Susie, thank you. Terry and Susie, well, Susie's in heaven. She passed away yesterday. Yeah. You know, I love that I'm doing well. I really do. I love that I've got a beautiful wife and five awesome kids, and I love that I got a neat house and, you know, vehicles, and God blesses me. I love that. But I'm not okay with just that being life. I am not okay with just that being life. We need too much more of God flowing through us to others. And and I believe this. I believe it requires, there's a requirement put on us to go for it on behalf of others. Now, I just think there is. And do we get to enjoy life? Here's the fun thing about life. Jesus said, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me. All the weary and heavy laden people do what? They come to Jesus. Who comes to Jesus? The weary and the heavy laden people. And then it's kind of crazy the way he does things and the way he says to things. But all of you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and learn from me and take my yoke upon you. Wait a second. I'm weary and heavy laden and you want me to take a yoke upon me? Yeah, why? Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We keep trying to carry around our own stuff, but we can come to him and learn from him and receive from him. And he's got an ability to cause us to be able to carry a yoke that's easy and light. I know it doesn't seem to make sense. It seems to contradict. It seems to be goofy. But yet it's the way it works. It's how he works. And one of the things he's trying to get people to do is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Amen. We're in John chapter 14 here. John chapter 14, start at verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. It's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is just hoping these guys get it. Praise God, they did. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak in my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. I think it's interesting. Jesus said, look at that. But the words that I say to you, everybody say words. The words that I say to you. Jesus is saying words, but the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. I just think that's fascinating when one place it says words and the next place it says works. You mean if we go out and share the word of God, God will do works? Yeah. Amen. If we'll get a word from God and share that word, then God will do works. Jesus said, you know, over in Mark chapter 16, that the disciples, the scripture says that the disciples went out and they preached the word everywhere with boldness, and the Lord confirmed the word with signs following. Amen. Now, there's something else we got to dig out of here. Hallelujah. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe on me for the sake of the for the works' sake themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. I don't know about you, but I like the thought of that. And then if you jump to verse 16, well, I'll just read 15 also. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. I wonder if that other helper. I wonder if that paraclete, the one that is just like Jesus, perfect representation of Jesus, I wonder if he coming to us and being on the inside of us has anything to do with being strengthened? Has anything to do with rivers of living water flowing out of us? Has anything to do with us stepping out and greater taking place? Amen? I think he has something to do with it. And Jesus commanded them. Okay, now, back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I think there's already been some good things said about why we need the Holy Spirit, but I have a few that I want to just highlight as we get ready to start bringing this thing to a close. And notice I said, as we begin to get ready to bring this thing to a close. I didn't say anything coming to a close right away. Amen? But we're beginning to at least think about it. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Verse 4, Acts chapter 1. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So we got a glimpse of what he was telling them, what they had heard from him about the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? You know what I think is so amazing here? They're thinking more natural. They're thinking about the kingdom of Israel. Back in verse 3, he spoke to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit, one of the things I want to share with you about the Holy Spirit, and I just shared this with some friends the other day. It's amazing how many times I've got a problem here. I've got a problem here and I'm looking for a solution here. But God will bring me over here and he'll talk to me about letting the Holy Spirit in my life move over here. And praying in the Spirit and praying in tongues. And it's amazing how many times doing this over here has a solution for this problem here. But lots of times we don't make the correlation, we don't make the connection between what I'm dealing with right here and what God's got me doing over here. But so many times the answer to the problem that's over there is found over here in waiting, is found over here in hanging out, is found over here praying in the Holy Spirit. And you know, how's that going to help, Pastor? Believe me, it helps. Okay, that's like one of my last points. So obviously we just went really quick to the... No, we didn't. Verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which your Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, or witnesses of mine, in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, one of the greatest reasons I think that a person ought to get baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because it causes our witness to be more powerful and more effective to people around us. Amen? I want a more powerful witness. I'd like to have a witness like Peter had. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is vital in that. Why should a person get filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit? For the witness sake. For the ability to have a greater witness, a more powerful witness. All right, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We still doing okay, you guys? Okay, now, is it getting quiet in here just because you're taking in? You're taken to heart. Is it getting quiet in here because of the people I mentioned who need prayer? Because my sister Marinka back there, she's hurting. And is that why it's getting quiet in here? Is that why it's getting solemn in here? It's okay with me if it gets quiet as long as it gets faith-filled. Amen? As long as faith gets turned on. Amen? Then it's okay. Amen? Stir ourselves up. Stir ourselves up. Why? Because there's people who need us to stir ourselves up. Amen? Amen?
Hallelujah. Did I say Romans chapter 8? How many of you got there before I did? Oh, I was wrong, you guys. I was wrong. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Romans chapter 8. Good, I beat you there. Ha, ha, ha. Tell you the wrong place and go to the right place, and then I win every time. How many of you know we can laugh and smile and still have the switch of faith turned on? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here's another reason why I think it's just so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but I challenge you sometime to start reading in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 16, and highlight the word Spirit with capital S, and see how many times the Holy Spirit is referenced in this chapter. It's actually 15 times. Oh, yeah, I highlight them. If they want to, but count them. There's 15 times. 15 times in here. Verse 4, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How many want to walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh? Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way in me. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6 is so powerful. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Oh, man, I don't want to be that. I want to make sure I'm letting the Holy Spirit have its way. I want to make sure that my mind is being renewed by the Word of God, and I am letting the Holy Spirit work, because I don't want a mind that's at enmity, that is an enemy of the Father. I don't want that. Did you know that there are believers who don't let the Holy Spirit lead them, and then they end up rejecting the Word of God, and they're at enmity with God? They're crossways with God. They're not letting the Holy Spirit have His way in them, and they're not receiving and taking in God's Word. And they're crossways with the Father in their thinking. God's got more. He's got more for me. Hallelujah. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't want that. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. I love verse 13. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I tell you what, I thank God for the Holy Ghost and Him being a partner with us, and we are able to do what? Put to death the deeds of the body. Put to death that carnal flesh. And then what? We find life, and we find life more abundantly. We're not carrying around this old dead body anymore. We're not dragging it around with us anymore. We've got life and life more abundantly. Oh, amen. And you know what? This is all the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit working with us, the Holy Spirit helping us. One of my goals is to live holy. One of my goals is to live holy. I know if I'm actually going to live holy and be successful at it for extended days and weeks and months. I am not going to do it apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? One, so I'm a better witness. Two, so I can put to death the deeds of the body. So I can live that holy life. Amen. You guys got time for a little more? If you got time for a little more, believe me, I got a little more. 1 Corinthians. God is so good. Amen. Hallelujah. We will. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to read verse 1 and then 2. How many in here are familiar with the person of the Holy Spirit? Amen. You're familiar. You've heard scripture about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if everybody in here has heard about praying in tongues and all of that stuff and everything. But that's part of the gifting that comes with the Holy Spirit, is the ability to pray in tongues, to pray a supernatural language. 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. We're supposed to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. We're supposed to want them. You ever desired something? I desired Diana when I first met her, and I would drive to Hot Springs 6 nights a week. Amen. I desired. I desired. How many of you ever desired something? I wonder if I desire the gifts of the Spirit like I desired Diane. Stir me up. Stir me up. Desire the gifts of the, pursue love and desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially that you may prophesy. Now notice verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in his spirit he speaks mysteries. One of the blessings of praying in tongues is you're speaking mysteries. You're praying mysteries. You're praying mysteries. I'm not going to take the time, but make a note for yourself and do this study. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. How many of you know God has prepared things for those of us who love him? But it doesn't come through the natural eye gate, and it doesn't come through the natural ear gate. The way it comes, the next verse of Scripture says, but we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, who gives us, causes us to know those things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit searches, yes, even the deep things of God. And your life is hidden with God in Christ. And when you spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, you know what you're going to be praying out? Mysteries. You're going to be praying out the will of the Father. You're going to be praying out those things that God has hidden for those who love him. Do you know why he hid them? Guys, he didn't hide them from us. He hid them for us. He's keeping them safe. He's keeping them safe. He hid them for us, and they're for us to go search out. They're for us to go find. It's crazy the stuff you can find when you start digging around. How many of you ever been snooping through an old closet or something like that, or an old dresser drawer, and the stuff you find? Amen. You ever been blown away at the stuff you'd find? I mean, I want to tell you what. You get digging around in the Holy Ghost. You get praying in other tongues. You spend some time, get quiet. You're going to be shocked at the stuff you find. Really, God? That? I didn't know I could have that. I didn't know you had that prepared for me. Amen. I tell you what, I jokingly would say that I quit praying for Diana. Yeah, I quit praying for her. Because every time I'd pray for her and ask God to fix her, he never talked to me about her. He always talked to me about me. Actually, that's not true. I pray for her all the time. But there were times when I prayed for her and he never talked to me about her. He talked to me about me. Lots of times. But you know, it's amazing to me how many times in our relationship it's evolved over the years. It's gotten better and better and better and better. And I don't know how many times I'd be off over here praying or read my Bible, and she and I would have something that needed adjusting, needed worked on. And I'm over here not even really paying attention to that. And bam, he gives me what I need for that over there. The things that he has prepared for those who love him. You know, he prepared just a beautiful marriage for us. But we've been seeking it out. I remember the day when, you know, one time she said, "Don't yell at me." And I yell. Yeah, I ain't yelling. You've heard the story. And then I was a couple weeks later reading my Bible and came across a verse of scripture in Ephesians. Put away clamor. I didn't know what clamor was. And I looked up what clamor was down in the margin of my Bible. And it said loud quarreling. And I'm reminded of 2 weeks earlier when my wife said, "Don't yell at me." Now, guys, this was just 3 days ago, so it doesn't happen all the time. No. This was about 15 or 20 years ago now. And as when I read that scripture, guess who spoke to my heart? The Holy Spirit. And he said, "Joel, if your wife calls it yelling, it's yelling." Wow. I tell you what, he's got help for us. Get filled with the Holy Ghost and pray in other tongues. Why? Because we become a better witness. Because we can put to death the deeds of the body. Because the Holy Spirit will help us in every area of life. He'll show us things that we don't know. Now, go with me down just to verse 4, and I think we'll stop there. Verse 4, same chapter. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Everybody say edifies. Another word for edified would be build up. And just the most simple illustration I can think of, how many of you have ever left the keys on in your, the headlights on in your car? And you came out and you turned the key and your battery was dead. What did you need? You needed a jump start. So you got somebody with another battery, you got somebody with another vehicle, and they came over and they hooked up the jumper cables and your car started up. You know what praying in tongues will do? It'll charge us up. It'll give us a jump start. It'll edify. It'll strengthen us. And guess what? The more strength we have spiritually, the better we're going to be doing it, working with the Holy Spirit and putting to death the deeds of the body. Amen? So I'm going to quit there. And here's how I want to end it this morning. I would just like to invite people just to come to the altar, not necessarily going to pray for people, but I'd just like people to come up and just spend some time praying in the Spirit if you want to. Worship team's going to play. Worship team's going to do a song. But here's something that I've had people say to me over the years. "Well, yeah, I got filled with the Spirit, but I don't pray in tongues much." You guys all with me today? There's so many times where here's this beautiful gift given. And it sits on the shelf. Amen? I want to stir us up. I want to help, you know, inspire us. I'm hoping to get people to, okay, I need to stir me up. I need to spend time praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, there's folks in this building here who are looking at me, and you can remember saying, "Yeah, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I speak in tongues, but not very much." The Apostle Paul said, "I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all." You know what the Apostle Paul did? He prayed in the Spirit a lot. He prayed in the Holy Spirit a lot. And there's a number of different kind of tongues. And today I've talked about two. Praying out mysteries and praying out or praying where we edify ourselves. Amen. So let's go ahead and stand up. Amen. And if you're in this place and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can today. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You guys still doing okay with me? Amen. How many of you know we got some situations and people to pray for today? Amen. How many of you know we all need to work on stirring ourselves up? Amen. Pray for Steve. And pray for Willis Dunnick. We're going to pray for Terry. We're going to pray for Aaron's dad, Rick, and his girlfriend. Amen. We got people to pray for today. But that's just part of it. The other part is just stirring ourselves up. praying in the Holy Spirit, committing to get quiet and to wait on the Lord, because those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings of eagles. Amen. They'll run and not get weary. They'll walk and not faint. Thank you, Jen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want to do that. That's the altar call. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can come on up here. Brian, will you come on up? I think you and me got this today, buddy. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and pray in other tongues and you want to, you can. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit and you've prayed in other tongues, but you're not, you know, you just want to like, God, I'm just going to do that. I'm just going to do that. Maybe you do frequently. I don't know. But you're just going to, okay, I'm just going to pray. So for everybody, that's what's going to happen. There's just going to be people praying. Don't expect an interpretation or any of that stuff. That's not what's going to happen. Amen? But just stirring ourselves up and going after it, going after the things of God. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity. Father, God, I'm grateful for this, that there's nothing that ever takes you by surprise. Nothing. There isn't a person on the face of this earth that you're not well aware of what's going on in their life. And God, you want to reach them. You want to love on them. You want to pour your goodness and your mercy out on them. And Father, one of the ways you do that is through us. And we want to be good witnesses. We want to be vessels of honor that you can work through. That verse of Scripture says to be vessels of honor, sanctified and useful to the Master's call and plan. We want to be useful to you, Father God. So God, if there's anyone in this place today and they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they can meet Him today. If there's anyone in this building and they've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and got their prayer language, Father, they can get filled with the Holy Spirit today. We just pray for them and you'll do what you said in your word. And then, Father, I just want people to come up here to the altar and just to spend time praying, just to spend some time waiting on you. So I'd like to invite people, come on up, if you would, please. Just come on up and maybe kneel down. Just start praying in the Spirit. Amen. And go for it. Go for it. You know, you might, well, I don't want to have people think I'm weird. Who cares? Tear the roof off. Amen? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares what people might think? We're stirring ourselves up. We're going for it. We're just getting after it. Amen? You know, we're just like, God, these things of you matter. These things of you are important. Father, we're going to go for it. We're going to seek you. We're going to draw near to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And some folks are just kneeling at chairs. That's fine too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Just pursue Him. Just pursue Him. This is you and Him. This is you and Him going after God. Amen. It's time we stop being churchy. It's time we just like, okay, God, I want you. I want you. And I don't care what anybody thinks. If it's different, I don't care if it's unusual. It's okay, God. You got life and life more abundantly. Father, we worship you and we praise you. Father God, oh, we worship you, we worship you, and we stir ourselves up in this place. We just stir ourselves up. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father God. We thank you that you've poured out the Holy Spirit. You've given us the Holy Spirit. And Father, He shows us things. He shows us things. He reveals things to us, Father God. He the things that you have prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, God. Go ahead and just pray in the Spirit. You know, wherever you're at, just pray in the Holy Spirit. Father God, we're just going to pursue you. We're going to go after it. And God, I think about on the day of Pentecost when you poured out the Holy Spirit and people were, they were praising and praying in the Spirit. And Father, folks accused them of all kinds of things, but it was you working. It was you working, Father God. It was you working. Father, we long for more of you. We hunger for more of you, Father. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Oh, hallelujah, Father God. Oh, hallelujah, Father God. God, we love you. God, we praise you. God, we magnify you. And Heavenly Father, right now, we think about the people that have been mentioned, and maybe there's other people. We think about Rick. and the gal that was riding with him. And Father, that you just bring healing to his body. Those bones that are broken, I thank you, Father, that they're just mending takes place. Mending takes place right now. Mending takes place right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God. Healing. And for the lady that was riding, healing, Father God. Supernatural recovery. Supernatural recovery, God. Supernatural. Supernatural, Father. And God, your comfort, your comfort, your comfort right now. Be there with Terry. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. None of us liked hearing that Susie passed away. We're so glad she's in heaven. We're thankful for that. But Father, we didn't want her to pass away. We didn't want her to leave this world. But she did. And we're grateful she's in heaven. And thank you for your comfort for Terry. Thank you, God. Thank you for your comfort. Thank you for being with Willis Dunnick right now. Thank you, Father God, that he is the healed of the Lord. He is the healed of the Lord, Father. The healed of the Lord. And we continue just to speak healing over his body. Healing over his life, Father God. Oh, worship you, Father. Worship you and praise you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father God. Thank you for loving us so much, God. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I just stir up. I stir up the gift on the inside of me. Father, I just ask you to use the words that were shared today. The words that were shared today. Just to stir us up, to stir us up, to stir us up. Father, for Janine right now. Just healing in her arm. Just healing in her arm. We speak healing. We speak healing. God, you said greater works than these would we do because Jesus goes to the Father and then he sends us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God, for greater works. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for revealing things to us. Thank you, Father God, for answering mysteries. Thank you for showing the things that you prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Thank you, Father, that through the Holy Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the body and therefore we live. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Praise you, Heavenly Father God. You're good and you're worthy of praise. You're good and you're worthy of praise, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Praise to you, God. Praise to you, Father God. Praise to you, Father God. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We love you, Father God. And Heavenly Father, we don't get together just to take about a couple of hours of time and do our duty. No, 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 no. It's life. It's life. It's life. It's everyday life, Father God. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the gifts that are in the people in this place. Thank you for the gifts that you have put on the inside of them. And Father, we hunger for those gifts as they just operate and as people minister back and forth one to another. And Father, as streams of living water pour out of one person into the next person, Father. Oh, we just thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for each person in here. Thank you for the gifting inside. Thank you for the blessing that they are. Oh, Father, and we just value each other. We value, we place honor in each other. We recognize the greater one, you, inside of each one, Father. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, and we love you, Father. And I thank you, God, that as we wait upon you, as we wait upon you, we renew our strength. We run, and we don't get weary. We walk, and we don't faint, Father God. We're advancing. After we wait upon you, we get built up, we get edified. Oh, we thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Would y'all just lift your hands and lift your voice and just start thanking God. Thanking God for stirring you up. Thank you that he's working on the inside of you. Thank him for healing physical bodies. Thank him for bringing an encouragement to people's hearts. Thank Him for just restoring people. Thank Him for just loving on people. Just thank Him for loving you and showing you things. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of glory. God, that is true. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of glory. And Father God, this morning in this place, I just thank you that you give us your mercy. You give us your mercy. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us grace, Father, and you have more to give us, more to give us. And Father, it's so that we have more to give other people, so that we can go into this world and represent you, be your ambassadors fully and completely, Father God, bringing the kingdom of heaven to this world. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done through us in this earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for that privilege of being your ambassadors, that we get to be your representatives. And thank you for equipping us with all that we need to do that job and to do it right. Thank you, Father. We love you. Thank you. Worship you and praise you. You're good, God. Holy place. Altar. Oh, thank you, Father. And folks, if you need to slip out, go ahead and slip out. You can just